Tom, thank you for taking a bit of time to talk through your experience the last few weeks. If you could just start by giving us a little explanation of the business and its operations, and then go into how this has kind of been a good opportunity for you guys to have a bit of an innovative pivot. It's a pivot that you've had to do to protect the business, but it was actually something you were thinking about for a while. Tell us about those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. So background on us, we're Dunster's Farm. We're food service based in Bury in Greater Manchester. And our sort of customer base was 70% education, and the rest made up a variety of hospitals, restaurants, cafes. So obviously COVID-19 has affected us hugely. At first, when the sort of restaurant trade just got sort of forced to close, when people were told not to go to restaurants and restaurants started to close. Then the schools obviously was the big one when the schools were shut, and then the restaurants were also shut. So basically, yeah, pretty much 100%, maybe 95%, we've got a few hospitals, of our business disappeared in the matter of a few days. But there was not really any, never really entered our mind to close the business down for a period or shut down. One, because obviously we've got some essential work to do. And there's an obligation there, I think, with the hospitals and the schools that are operating on a skeleton service. So we didn't really ever think about that possibility, although I know other wholesalers have sort of tried to get rid of their stock and close the doors. But we actually tried to think of the positives. So I'm always, quite, I think, optimistic by nature. And we thought, well, where's this going? So immediately when the business started to dry up, we first thought, well, this is, we first got calls actually from the public to say, can we buy off you? Which is never, we'd never done. It had always been a B2B business. And we said, well, yeah, I don't see why not. If especially when you need, it was mainly for pasta and loo roll and all the stuff that's been in the news. So we did that, and we opened up the doors to the public, and that went well, but it was obviously very small compared to what we were used to. But we pretty much immediately pressed go on building a new website. And it was only because of this, because something that I'd wanted to do for a while, with our background being originally a farm, now a food service distributor, we've always been in the local community. And with that background, I'd always thought it'd be brilliant, and I didn't really see why we couldn't do home delivery. And partner with the right local producers and deliver quality local products around the area. There are people in other parts of the country doing this quite well. But when you're running a business, and especially when it's growing and you're doing all right, you don't really have the time or the headspace to take on another separate business model. So we, it'd always been a thought and saying one day we'll do that. We need to do that. That'd be great. But this kind of forced our hand. So that's what we did. We pressed go on, but we realized that our website was very B2B. It was very, you had to have an account, you had to log in. It was just not right for B2C. So the first thing we did, as soon as we saw this coming, was like, let's build a new website. Let's try and do it in a week or 2 weeks. So we did that. And that's where we are now. That's pretty much ready to go live this weekend, which we're really excited about.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's.
And communicating that to staff, what have you been telling them so that they're kind of not going, oh, well, we used to do this. Do we now do this? What's the future of the business?
Yeah, in terms of community staff, it's been really simple actually, it's really easy because everyone is really, there's been a really great team spirit come out of this whole thing. And I think that's been, people say about community and people seeing a new sign of sort of community spirit, which is, one positive out of all this bad news. But we've seen that in our sort of community of a business, that people were really keen, especially when we opened the doors to help with home deliveries and collections to the public and to themselves. I mean, we first saw the potential was because the amount of staff orders that were going through for our own products just went through the roof. So they've been really behind it, and they're really keen on this, helping the community and working locally and working a little bit differently. So it's not been hard at all to sort of get the staff on board. If anything, they're probably more enthusiastic now. We've seen a really good response.
And now you've kicked this new bit of kind of business direction off, and things are a bit quieter than they normally are, to put it lightly. you and your sister and the rest of the team now have an opportunity to think about the future direction of the company, and maybe have the time to think about stuff which you never normally do when there's just so much going on in the day to day.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Hunter. I think what we're going to get to is, I think the first 2 weeks of this whole thing have been, you know, a living nightmare, you know, trying to work out. And I think it's the uncertainty of the, you know, we went one way thinking of what we needed to do to survive. And then the government announced something with the, you know, with the furloughing sort of rules. And that sent us saying, well, actually, no, we should maybe do this. But then you're waiting for updates and you're waiting for more of how. So we've been fortunate that we're in a position where we could sit tight for a little while and not react. I know other businesses had to do stuff just immediately to preserve cash. We could, you know, sit tight and say, like, we've got a couple of weeks, we've got a few weeks here. Let's make sure we do the right thing. So we sat tight and we're almost over that now. And I think from next week, as you say, Hunter, we'll be in a much smaller base, much smaller team. But we will have some headspace to sort of engage in that long-term thinking. We will have a focus on the new project. Obviously, that will be massive. We've made sure when we've been making staff changes that we've got the staff to do that without being overstretched. And then the other thing, yeah, I mean, it is about the long-term. I think a lot of the stuff in my sort of this year's kind of plan was probably quite ambitious. There was probably a lot of stuff in there which was systems related and, you know, real productivity stuff, you know, getting the systems working exactly how we want them and the various systems interacting with each other in the correct way. And I had it in the plan, and I probably knew in my heart of hearts that we were never going to get all this done and all the other stuff on the plan. So this is kind of because the commercial growth goals and stuff have gone out the window, because we know we're not going to grow the business. We might grow a small part of the business into a something that hopefully can grow in the future into something significant. But the main business is just going to be, contract, you know, it's a period of just survival, really. It does allow us, fortunately, to have that time to get those things that were in the year one plan, the systems side of stuff, and just really focus on them. So when we were doing the furloughing and the staff making the really tough decisions, we had to think, don't overdo it, don't cut too fine, because then you yourselves, who are the key sort of decision makers, will be dragged into the day to day again, which we've been fighting so hard for so long to sort of get out of. We had to think like that.
Okay. And I know you've got a bit of this situation is creating an opportunity for people to step up and contribute in different ways. And I know you think that your space and the SME space has a big role it can play. The government has naturally defaulted to organisations of scale because they can spin stuff up quite quickly. But you think there's a role for SMEs to be playing in areas that they might not necessarily have done before?
Yes, we fully appreciate, you know, and I understand why the government has gone straight to the multiples and the major retailers, because obviously they have got the scale and the reach. But obviously we've seen the problems that's caused. We've seen the seams in the supermarkets. We've seen the queues and we've seen the difficulty to get online and get stuff. And you know, my issue there is that the demand for food, yeah, it has been a surge, but it's not dissimilar to anything we don't get, you know, around Christmas or anything like that. Obviously we're not as prepared for it, but it could have been dealt with better, in my opinion. There's a lot of food out there in the chain because all the restaurants, all the hospitality industry has closed. That is a separate sector. There is the retail channel of supermarkets and the wholesale channel of people like ourselves. And a lot of that food is sat in warehouses with empty lorries outside, with drivers not being, you know, not having work to do. And people are talking about stuff like, you know, the army being called in to move food around the country. They're relaxing, bending the driving hour rules so that drivers for the supermarkets can work through the night. You know, even if it's not particularly a safe thing to do, you know, the rules are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Whereas we've got plenty of help to do. We've got plenty of food to deliver. But those channels just aren't talking to each other. My kind of view on it is it's because the industries are in a way competitors. Not traditionally, they haven't been. They've been separate. But actually, the retailers have made lots of moves in the last few years to get into wholesale. So I don't think, you know, it's arguably, you know, not to be too cynical, but I don't necessarily think that the supermarkets would want to help that much, really, with genuine cooperation. There's been a bit of tokenism. But, you know, we will see. I think something like that would have to come from the government to say, you know, instead of talking about the army moving gloves and things around, we've, you know, there's plenty of lorries all over the country that could do that and people who are willing to help.
Okay, fantastic. Well, one final thing, having had the last couple of weeks that you have had that you probably never foresaw yourself going through, what's your advice to other people in your position that might help them based on your experience? What would you want to tell them?
I think the main thing I would say is try and, if you can, in this situation, we were fortunate that we had a bit of breathing room, but try and sit tight, because I think there's a lot of businesses who've gone one way and then they've had to, you know, undo it all and go another way. And I've been speaking to a couple of businesses who, you know, were quick to sort of, they had to react quickly and they got rid of workers. Or they put them on 50% of the hours, you know, when actually there were options then released by the government later that they then had to try and unwind and unravel and change. So I think definitely trying to sit tight and wait for a bit of clarity before you act is really important. But obviously you have to be in a position to be able to do that. And I understand not everyone is.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that, Tom. Hope the new website launch goes well.
Look forward to it.
And we'll check back in soon. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Hunter. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.